You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory, and welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing well today. Before we begin talking about hot beverages, which is a strange topic, I know, the website is naturopathicearth.com. Go check it out. Check out my articles. If you're in the need of a health coach or you need to lose some weight, hire me. Maybe I can help you out. Friend me on Facebook or Twitter. Follow me there if you like. That'd be fantastic as well. All right, let's talk about hot beverages. Let's do a quickie. Sometimes quickies are good, right? Let's do a quickie. All right, I wanted to bring up this topic of hot beverages because it is peculiar, no doubt. It is peculiar. But it's something that I've mentioned before in, I think it was the episode on common IARC carcinogens in the house. The IARC is a branch of the World Health Organization, and their job is to research things that cause cancer. And we know that, of course, smoking and drinking causes cancer, but there's other things that might be surprising to you, like tar, like the birth control pill, like menopause medications, like HPV vaccine, like overcooking your meat and plastics and all these things like that. So I had mentioned that one of the common carcinogens, the 2A category, which are going to be Class 1 are those that are definitely linked to cancer, and class 2 are those that are probably linked to cancer. And one of them was hot beverages, and I just kind of mentioned it on the side, just to mention it on the side. But then I read an article that kind of brought this back. I was like, oh, I'll do a quickie on this. So let's read this article, because a lot of us like hot, scaldingly hot drinks, and maybe we shouldn't. All right, so let's read this article. It's from Fox News. I'm not a big proponent of Fox News, so don't be like, oh, Al Gregory is a big neocon. No, I'm not a neocon. I guess neocon is baby Bush regime, so he's a Trump supporter. No, I'm not a Trump supporter per se. All right, it's by Lisa Rappaport. Drinking scalding hot tea is associated with an increased risk of esophageal tumors in people who also smoke and drink alcohol. Two habits that make many cancers more likely, a Chinese study suggests. Oh, well, if it's from China, I mean, can we really believe it, right? China. Among Chinese adults who drink at least one beer, cocktail, or glass of wine daily, those who also consumed burning hot tea every day were 5 times more likely to develop cancer of the esophagus than people who drank tea at any temperature less than once a week. The study found for current smokers, drinking scalding hot tea every day was associated with roughly twice the risk of esophageal cancer as consuming tea less than weekly. Huh, this is an interesting study. Okay, so let's go back. Adult, if we drink one beer, one cocktail, or a glass of wine daily, those who also consume burning hot tea every day, drinking hot tea every day, we're 5 times more likely to develop esophageal cancer than people who drank tea at regular temperature once a week. That control seems peculiar. Quote, this is Dr. John Luvi from Peking University. And no, I'm not going to do my Chinese accent. Keeping away from both tobacco and excessive alcohol use is the most important means for esophageal cancer prevention, he says. Close quote. Quote, under this increased risk of esophageal cancer from smoking and drinking alcohol, if people like drinking very hot tea, the risk of developing cancer will be synergistically higher. LV said by email. I don't even know how you say the last name. Oh, I guess it's Dr. June LV, the letters LV. And I know in Chinese, the June is going to be his last name. So his first name is LV. I don't know if that's like LV, June. But by itself, drinking hot tea doesn't necessarily increase cancer risk. China is among the countries with the highest incidence of esophageal cancer, researchers know in the Annals of Internal Medicine. Because tea drinkers in China, especially men, are more likely to drink alcohol and smoke. Previous studies haven't offered a clear picture of whether burning hot tea might be an independent risk factor for esophageal tumors. Well, clearly these guys in the Annals of Internal Medicine haven't gone to the World Health Organization and talked to the IARC, because the IARC says hot beverages does. While some prior research has suggested tea may help protect against tumors in the digestive tract, other studies have shown repeated consumption of very hot food or drink might damage the esophagus and help tumors take hold. For the current study, researchers examined data on 456,000 adults between the ages of 30 to 79 who completed questionnaires about their smoking, alcohol, and tea habits. At the start of the study, none of the participants had cancer. Researchers followed half of the participants for at least 9 years. During the study, 1,700 developed esophageal cancer out of the 450,000. So that's a pretty good rate. That's not too bad. People who drank scalding hot tea, consumed excessive amounts of alcohol, and also smoked had more than five times the risk of esophageal cancer than individuals who didn't do any of these things. We know smoking and alcohol increases cancer risk factors, not to mention that, but all the cardiovascular problems, exponentially. So this isn't a surprise, right? The study wasn't a controlled experiment designed to prove whether or how the temperature of tea might impact the risk of esophageal tumors. Another limitation is the study participants reported on their own smoking and drinking habits, and their reports could be unreliable, right? People lie all the time. Just like when they do the sex studies or the cheating studies. I mean, how honest are people are when they ask, do you cheat on your spouse? Or how many times are you having sex, right? These are just pretty unreliable. Researchers also had data on tea consumption from one point in time when people joined the study, making it impossible to know how changing habits might have impacted the cancer risk. Quote, people probably do not estimate their tea temperature perfectly, and this is one of the main limitations of the study. Drinking tea at a lower temperature should not be considered as a replacement for smoking cessation and limiting alcohol intake, says Friedman. Friedman is the author of an accompanying editorial and a researcher with the Division of Cancer Epidemiology in Bethesda, Maryland. Nevertheless, accumulating data suggests that drinking very hot tea might also increase the risk of esophageal cancer, and it may be prudent for people who drink very hot beverages to wait until it cools down a bit before drinking it, whether or not they also smoke cigarettes or drink alcohol. Now, it's funny because they don't mention coffee in this. I don't know if coffee got some pass on this or not. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll finish up. Okay, so the reason I wanted to bring this up is this. I know smoking as a whole is decreasing throughout most of the United States for sure, but I know I have listeners around the world. And smoking is pretty omnipresent over there. But the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I drink tea. So I'm like, well, maybe I have a concerted effort on this particular study. As you know, I drink quite a bit of tea. And I can't drink very hot tea. It scalds my tongue. It scalds my my palate. But I need to be aware of this because on occasion I drink wine. And maybe I don't want to be drinking super hot tea. And I drink tea about 5-6 cups a day. And so this is important, guys, especially if you drink alcohol or if you smoke. But hot beverages, I would probably include coffee in this, and I would include hot chocolate, include tea. I'll include all the Mormon prohibitions there. But I would definitely include all of those drinks. And the other thing is it leads to Barrett's esophagus. So sometimes if you have reflux, or as they call gastroesophageal reflux disorder, when that cardiac sphincter or lower esophageal sphincter, the sphincter that separates the esophagus from the stomach, it's like a door. And sometimes that stays open as the stomach acid splashes into the distal esophagus or lower esophagus, and that leads to heartburn. Well, if you have chronic reflux or chronic heartburn, it burns the epithelial lining of your esophagus, which leads to a condition or can lead to a condition called Barrett's esophagus. And we know that Barrett's esophagus is many times a precursor to getting esophageal cancer. So the thing I want to bring up is that there's kind of like two ways you can get esophageal cancer. And you're probably like, Gregory, why do I care about esophageal cancer? I mean, that's such a specific cancer. Well, first of all, the digestive system cancers are probably the most lethal out of all the cancers. I mean, we definitely know that pancreatic cancer kills about 95% of people who within 5 years. But gastric cancer, stomach cancer, intestinal cancer, colon cancer, these are all pretty bad. And we don't want to get cancer of the esophagus. It's not like they can put a PVC pipe in there once they cut out your esophagus to connect your pharynx or throat to your stomach. So it's not one of those things that you want to take lightly. So watch out for reflux. And I don't want to go off topic and talk about reflux, but we know we commonly treat reflux and ulcers, peptic ulcers, with all the over-the-counter medications like Tagamin and Prilosec and all these drugs. But they're horrible drugs, guys. They're horrible. We want a lot of acid in the stomach for a couple reasons. One, it burns all of our food to the point where the intestines can absorb it. And so if you don't have strong acid, because you take antacids, if you don't have strong acid, you're going to have indigestion problems, but also you're going to have more infections because the other job of the acid in our stomach is to kill pathogens that we swallow. And so if the fiery furnace of hell isn't as fiery because you're taking antacids, it's going to increase your chances of infection. Also, what the doctors don't tell you very commonly is that once you're taking all these over-the-counter medications, these Prilosec and Tagamin and Zantac, you have to take them for life, because if you ever get off of them, the rebound effect is even worse. Your heartburn and your ulcers are even worse. So you go back on them because it's so bad. And so you're essentially hooked on them for life. Also, they lead to vitamin deficiencies or absorption issues. It's a major problem, guys. So look, if you have reflux and that cardiac sphincter isn't closing, and this goes to a perfect example of like the difference between allopathic and holistic medicine, is that the allopathic or regular doctor is going to be like, let's treat the symptoms. Ooh. So they're like, let's give you Tagamin. Let's give you, you know, something like that. Maybe an antibiotic, because you might have H. pylori, because H. pylori is a bacteria that commonly causes stomach ulcers. And that's what they might treat it. But instead of asking the question of why is the door between your esophagus and stomach not closing, why is it staying open? Why is the brain sending messages to that door to stay open? How can we close it? Maybe you're not getting enough fat. Maybe you're not eating the right foods. And so that door stays open because it's like, feed me, see more, feed me, I need more food. Let's look at that's something that like a holistic doctor or naturopathic doctor would consider, is why is that door staying open? How about we close that door, and then you don't have to worry about taking antacids and this whole problem can go away. So that's my little side on reflux and GERD issues. But aside from that, the takeaway here is it's pretty clear. The IARC has said it, and now we have the study coming out of China. Don't drink very hot beverages. And even if you don't drink or smoke cigarettes, let's stay away from scaldingly hot drinks. Let it cool down. They taste better anyway. Before I leave, guys, please post a review on Naturopathic Earth Radio, NP Radio. It'd take you 2 seconds, and I would appreciate it greatly. And if you can, if you have the double the time, go post a review on Confessions of an Obese Child, my other podcast. I just posted an episode today about my weight gain and how I'm dealing with that. So I would appreciate that as well. Until next time, guys, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.